What's the gospel? Put it in a sentence. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins, rose again, eternally triumphant over all his enemies, so that there is now no condemnation for those who believe, but only everlasting joy. That's the gospel.
Welcome to today's podcast. In case you're new around here, this is The Pulse. This is where we aim to tackle pulse-raising questions regarding the Christian faith. I'm Toya Akinoso, I'm your host, and I'm joined by Mike Omani. And we're in February, which can only mean one thing, right? It means relationships and Valentine's. So the question we're going to ask today is, Mike, is there a such thing as the one?
Well, I should begin by saying that Valentine's Day is a capitalist ploy to have us spending money in pursuit of companionship. But, you know, that's only a joke. I won't be the Grinch. I'll try and answer what is probably a very important question for people. And I know growing up, I heard all sorts of things about the one. My pastor at the time spoke heavily about the one and the need for me to pursue the one. Growing up, I've come to realize that, you know, it's kind of hard to find scripture around this because there's no scripture. There's nothing. There's nothing really to suppose that there is the one. But I suppose the answer to this question really should start by us defining what we mean by the one. If we mean there is somebody who you can make a really amazing marriage relationship with such that it would glorify God, and then I suppose they are the one for you, as it were. But I guess society's obsession about this one person where if you don't marry them, you now live some sort of, you truncated purpose and you're living on the kind of lower track of what your life should be, because the upper track is to have this special person and then the lower track is to do this other thing and to be married to someone else. Well, that thing isn't really in the Bible. The Bible speaks extensively, as you can imagine, about marriage, but seems to give Christians the freedom to choose who their spouse should be. I mean, some quick points. One is that if your husband or your wife dies, the Bible permits you to remarry. So, you know, what would happen then? Would you have two ones? You know, I mean, was the first one the one? The second one the one? In the case of adultery and divorce, you can remarry again. Is there then a second one or third one? That doesn't really make sense. I think what we get really is that from the Bible is that there are multiple people who you could probably make God glorifying marriages with, because the whole essence of marriage is to foster this union that mirrors the marriage between Christ and the church. And as such, there are a number of people who that could be the case with. Now, important to understand that I'm not interested in being a kind of, you know, coming into someone building a sandcastle and just knocking it down. That's not what why I'm doing this. I'm doing this so we kind of learn a bit about how to actually build and to pursue relationship through God's lenses. This obsession over the one, I think, creates really unhealthy habits in people. One is kind of always questioning relationships. So there might be someone married right now who's going through a tough time with their spouse and now is kind of thinking, is she really the one or is he really the one? Well, that's the wrong thing to be thinking. The same thing is missing a load of people who probably you can make a great marriage with because you're pursuing this special one that will take all your boxes and she'll be the one. It's like, well, you've missed out lots in the process. It reminds me of a story I often heard about a guy drowning in water who then looks up to God to help him, and God sends someone with a boat and he's like, nah, I'm waiting for God. God sends someone with a jet ski. He's like, nah, I'm waiting for God. God sends someone with, like, a paddleboard. Equally, he's like, nah, I'm waiting for God to save me. He then dies, gets to heaven, goes to God and goes, yo, I was waiting for you to save me. What happened? And God says, oh, I sent you three different modes of transport, but you were too busy waiting for, I guess, some sort of special miraculous thing to happen. So all of that is just to help us understand that the way we ascertain who we should be life companions with is through prayer, is through spending time with people and asking some really important questions like, you know, who will be best for me? Who can I make a God-glorifying marriage with? Who seems unselfish and willing to make adjustments for me? Who brings out the best in me? Who cultivates me? Considering, you know, the circles you're currently in now and looking for suitable spouses who you can make a God-glorifying marriage with, that seems to be the preoccupation of Scripture and not this fascination with this special person that's been crafted for you. Of course, it's something that we may whisper to our spouses once we are married, you know, as a way to boost their confidence and, you know, as pleasantries. But in terms of a theological reality, it's just not there. There is no biblical basis for that saying.
Thank you so much for that.
You lost your breath a bit.
Really did. I was just so caught up in what you were saying. Yeah, I really appreciate what you said, how it's not really found anywhere in the Scripture. And even outside of Scripture, from a logical perspective, the one really doesn't make that much sense. I mean, there's what, 7.7 billion people in the earth, nearly 8 billion now, and there's more females than males. So even from a mathematical point of view, the one doesn't really make
sense. Although some people will be single.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's another thing to consider. Like, some people will be called into a life of singleness. So, do they not have the one? Did God forget them? It's like, yeah. Well, no. Marriage is one way you can mirror the gospel, but there's lots of other ways. And I think kind of just making more elastic this notion would help a lot of people.
Yeah,
who are just crushed under the weight of trying to find the one.
Yeah,
it's like, chill out, bro.
Yeah, just logically, all it then takes is one guy 200 years ago to marry the wrong one, and then everyone after that is then thrown out of this cosmic circle of marrying the wrong ones. And I think I was watching or reading a book about this topic not too long ago, and there was a couple that's having an open and honest discussion about this, and they said they could have easily married loads of other people and had a successful marriage, and how did he know his wife was the one? Well, simply he married her and she became the one. And you said earlier the Bible speaks extensively about marriage, so what I don't ask you is then, what does the Bible say about finding someone? What should you look for in someone that they should then be the one for?
I get your question, and I think, like I said, there's a couple of questions that help you to start walking along that path. But to start, I think any checklist other than, are they Christian? Do they have certain, are they mature? Mm-hmm. Are we equally yoked? That's the term often used. I think anything beyond that becomes an unhelpful checklist where we go, are they this height? Are they this length? Are they this weight? It just adds to this whole tick box exercise where we miss the whole point. It's about two imperfect people coming together to observe what is essentially a perfect thing. And you speaking about that story takes me back to a discussion we were having about how marriages happen historically. As you know, marriage within kind of social context was initially about dividing goods and services into households. The way you would find out, or the way the government would be able to split property, is by clustering people together into families, which start essentially with marriage, with two people together. And marriage is a process that wasn't just for those in the upper echelons. We can read of books, especially in the 16th, 17th century, of folks jumping the broom who were poor. It was a way to cluster and group people together. Now, anyone who watches different shows, especially medieval shows, would learn that marriage equally was a way to protect land. You'd have, maybe someone from the north marry someone from the south to ensure kind of a collaboration and alliance between the two houses and things of that nature. The whole process of finding someone to spend your life with has changed over the years. Now we may swipe left or fill out a profile online, and the whole process has changed. Now, wouldn't it be silly if I then postulated that every marriage gone before, folks weren't married to the one, because essentially they were marrying because of land, or they were marrying me. I mean, it's just a silly thing for me to say. And it's a nice invention of our time that we would be so preoccupied with this kind of, you know, swimming through different people and letting your heart lead you where it's to go. I mean, that's what we often say when we talk about love, when really it's not like that. Of course there's a feeling, of course there's an emotion there, but it's also a calculated thing. And it's also about capacity and maturity. And I think as we mature enough to start thinking about spouses and wives and husbands and things of that nature, we also have to mature the language we use and mature our processes. You know, when I was young, I remember having a list of just stuff. And on that list, Christian wasn't on there. But you know, I was like, she has to be looking like this. She has to look like that. She has to be good at this, good at singing. And all these random lists. But I've grown up. Yeah. And now my list has changed. It's there's less stuff on there, but there's more important things on there, and I think that's a sign that we need to start moving in that kind of direction.
Yeah, thank you so much for our mic, and thank you guys for listening as well. Please don't forget to subscribe below, and if you have any questions you'd like us to talk about, please send them at hello@ourgodgivenmission.com, and we'll see you next week.